One of the things ignorance will do to you is that you will not be effective. It's not that you don't know what it is, but you won't get the best out of it. And I think I highlighted that also. Was it this service or church on Sunday? That I have discovered that, you know, I'd heard it before years back, but I think in practice and understanding, that you need to hear truth of God's word again and again till you are actually tired of hearing it. Some things look so simple. They look so easy. But you need to hear them again and again till you are tired. In fact, the fellow who made this statement to me some years back said that when you are tired of hearing it, then you will begin to fully understand it. I agree with that. So he says, I will not have you ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. Now we'll go to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts for the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations but the same Lord. And diversities of operations but the same God who worketh on and all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit for without. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now look at 10. To another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these workings, that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Now chapter 14. Now, Paul says in verse 14, now we have identified tongues as a gift of the Spirit, and the gift of the Spirit is given to every man from the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, to profit without. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, I will read verse 2, then I will read verse 14, sorry, verse 13, and then verse 14. Verse 2 says, for he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, someone say in the Spirit. Good. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now look at 13. Wherefore let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. Now people have misread this to mean, when you speak in tongues, now pray to God so that he can interpret. Mm-mm. He's saying that, he's talking about prayer. You read verse 14 and 15. He's saying, when you pray in tongues, pray the interpretation. That's exactly what he's saying. Now in verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, which is supposed to be tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. So we're looking at praying in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. What did I say? Say it again. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And tongues is the walking of the Spirit. Tongues is the gift of the Spirit. So he's saying, when you are praying in tongues, you are praying with the gifts of the Spirit. Or you are praying in the gifts of the Spirit. So, we look at two other scriptures, then we now go to the explanation. Jude 20. Jude is just before Revelation. It says, for ye beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now I want to read from 17 so you understand why it said, for ye beloved. But beloved, remember ye the words that are spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he told you that there will be mockers in the last days, last time, who shall walk after their own godly lust, this be they who are separate themselves. That word separate themselves means worldly, okay? They are worldly. They are worldly, they are sensual, who are separate themselves, or who cause divisions, having not the Spirit. Now we know that having the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 10, is being born again. So it says, having not the Spirit. So the very next verse says, but ye beloved, okay? Now, he had spoken earlier, please listen to this, that there's some folks who will walk in ungodly lust. He says, because they do not have the Spirit. So verse 20, within this context, now says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, you know, assuming we don't have a comma there, you'll see a straight sentence. But ye, beloved, because you have the Spirit, alright, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, you can see that, and I'm still going to go to this later, that it makes an emphasis here about building up yourself, then talking about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. So, if I were you, I would just put in Jude 20, beloved, build up yourselves on the most, on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. And keeping yourselves in the love of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in tongues. Don't say in tongues. Good. So, praying in the Spirit, we've agreed, is praying in tongues. From Paul's clear explanation of prayer. So, that is, if I pray in tongues, I pray in the Spirit. Now, interestingly, some versions, I think the Amplified version, says, I pray with the aid of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Amplified says, but it's a little bit of a complicated explanation. But when you say, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but speaks unto God, no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, you see that the word in the Spirit is now explained in 14 and 15 to be my Spirit. Someone say my Spirit. My Spirit is the Spirit of God. Say it again, my Spirit is the Spirit of God. So when we say you are praying in the Spirit, it's not talking about a realm. It's talking about your Spirit. That is, you are still the one praying. And I see, and I think I've explained it a lot of times, that if God will be praying through you, then that is not prayer. Because the very basics of prayer is to desire. The word prayer means to make a request and to desire. Is not to fulfill a request. If I were to pray because God gave me what to pray about, I will be fulfilling a request. And that will not be prayer. All the words for prayer, whether you're looking at supplication prayer where you petition, or you're looking for, you know, what we call the prayer of faith, that, you know, the prayer of faith, prayer of asking. Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Whatsoever you desire. Matthew 21:21, whatsoever you ask in prayer, the word there is aitheho, what you want, what you desire. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. John 16:24, it says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, ask, verse 24, that your joy may be full. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And since we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. So all the words used for prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying always. Colossians 4:2, continue instant in prayer. Romans 12:12, the same thing. be instant in prayer, Ephesians 6:18. All the words for prayer all agree that you are the one that will want something. You are the one that will want something. That is, you must have something you are praying about. It's not that God will give you something to pray about. You are the one that will have something to pray about. You know, I've had people say things like, when you are praying in the Spirit, sometimes you don't even know what you are praying about. Well, that will be wrong. Maybe you want to say your mind does not comprehend what you are praying about. But it would be wrong to say you don't know what you are praying about, because that will put a lot of question mark on whether you are born again or not. So every word that tends to prayer shows that there is a desire. There is a reason. So also there's a reason. For instance, look at that Ephesians 6:18. It says praying always. He told you what? With all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto the perseverance for all the saints. I pray for me also. So there's a focus to praying in the Spirit. There's a focus to praying in the Spirit. Amen. Okay. There must be something you are praying about. If you are praying in tongues, you know, it's not mysterious, it's not out of the world, it's not something your mind, you don't know about. I didn't say your mind, that's a mistake. So, praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and see what it means to pray in tongues. Let's see the fundamental of praying in tongues. It says, he that speaks in tongues, that includes prayer, he says, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, that is talking about the mind of man generally, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. So, when we're talking about praying in tongues, we're talking about praying beyond the ability of man's comprehension, at least at the first instance. So, notice this, that before you pray, there is a reason to pray. You can't have prayer if there is no desire. So, will that desire now be from your mind? That's the question we want to look at. Will that desire be from your mind? In 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 says, if I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. Will that desire be on your mind? For instance, Jude did not tell us what to pray about. He just says to pray in the Spirit. Or to pray in tongues. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray for the saints. And to pray for the minister of the gospel. That's Paul himself. Verse 19. So, if I set out this morning, and I want to pray, and I want to pray in tongues, must I have something I want to pray about? Or must I just pray in tongues? Then I will know what I prayed about. Knowing fully well that tongues go to God, that the mind of man does is not a participator in tongues except by interpretation. We have all agreed that until there's an interpretation, your mind does not know what you are praying about. And there's no need for interpretation except you are praying for somebody else. Are we together here? Are we together? Now let's back up a little bit and look at how God in the Bible has helped people to pray. Genesis chapter 18, let's look at it, where a man by the name Abraham, at that time was called Abram. Abraham also was called Abraham. Where God spoke to him and said, you know, can I hide this thing from my friend Abraham? And then the Bible says Abraham stood before the Lord. So God wanted to do something, and then he informs Abraham what he wanted to do, wanted to carry out judgment, and he informed Abraham. That is, he told him what he wanted to do. So Abraham immediately, the Bible says, he stood before the Lord in verse 22, and says, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure. So he's making a request. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now observe that. God did not tell him what to ask. God revealed to him a circumstance that was going to happen by the reason of judgment. But then Abraham was now the man to pray. Luke 18:1 says, men ought to pray and not to faint. So it's a man that prays. Say with me, it's a man that prays. So there's an impending circumstance. There's an impending judgment upon a city. And God tells his prophet by the name of Abraham, and Abraham took the initiative to pray, to talk to the Lord. He took that initiative. The same time that, you know, Exodus 3, when Moses began to intercede for Israel, God told him what he was going to do. Then Moses stood in the gap for these people. He now represented them before God to pray. We have those two classic examples of prayer. I will show you another example. For instance, the book of Luke. Yes, in a moment now. Luke 22, where Jesus says this to Peter, Simon, Simon, verse 31. Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You can see again that this prayer is your desire. God can reveal a circumstance to you. God can, by the reason of a revelation gift, show you something that should happen or something happening to a person. But prayer starts with your desire. Prayer starts with what? Your desire. So praying in tongues is to help your desire. It does not bring a desire. Praying in tongues is to help your desire. You don't pray beyond your desire. Praying in the Spirit is to help your desire. So, praying in tongues will help to pray, but will not give you what to pray for. It will help to pray, but it will not give you what to pray for. So now wonder, but why is my mind unfruitful? If I want to pray about something, just like Paul would say, pray for so and so. Pray for this person. Paul says, I pray for you, and he talks to his own disciples without ceasing, and he says to them why he prays. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, for instance, verse 17 to 23, that he prays that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. So he had a desire. Someone say a desire. Okay? In chapter 3, verse 14 to 20, he says he prays that, you know, they will grow in the love of God, that they will be filled with the fullness of God. So he had a desire. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11, Philippians 1, 9 to 11, you see that Paul had a desire, and looking at the style of Paul and what he taught, He prayed in the Spirit. So that means I will have something to pray about. I will have something to pray about in praying in tongues. So praying in tongues is not mysterious. I want to pray about this. This is what I want to pray about. For instance, if you observe, the man, Abraham, wanted to stop the judgment. That was his desire. He wanted Sodom to be spared. So he put forth his reasons. Same thing with Moses, and same thing with Jesus. He wanted Simon to be spared. And he says, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Okay? When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Same way Paul prayed for these folks. So, where does tongues now come in? If I already know what I want to pray for, where does tongues come in? If I already know what I want to pray for, I want to pray for my church members, I want to pray for my pastor, for my children, I want to pray for my father, I want to pray for my friends, I want to pray for somebody who is ill, I want to pray for so and so person. I have a desire. God does not supply a desire for you. You must have a desire. Amen. Let me see if you are following me well. You must have a desire. The initiative of desire will not start with tongues. Tongues only expresses the desire. The initiative of the desire does not start with tongues. Amen. So things not known. We'll see something in a moment. Also, look at 1 Corinthians 2. It says, my spirit, I'll give an introduction like I said tonight. My spirit prays. That's what it said. My spirit prays. My spirit prays. That implies that my spirit has desires. Hallelujah. If my spirit can pray, that means my spirit has desires. If my spirit will pray, that my spirit can pray, my spirit has desires. Okay? Now, look to 1 Corinthians 2. Just before 1 Corinthians 14, you have 1 Corinthians 2. That speaks of my spirit, this spirit. Verse 9. As it is written, I has not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, look at that. It says, I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither had entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It says, but he has given to us his spirit, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have, that means in our makeup, we have limitations in what we see, what we hear, and what our mind conceives. And you see, like I said on Monday, Satan does not know beyond, for instance, what a man can hear, what a man can see, and what a man's mind can conceive. In Luke 10:21, Jesus says that, I thank you, Father, because you have hidden this from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. You have revealed them unto babes as it has pleased you in your sight. You have hidden these things. So that means there are some things that God will hide. There are some things that God will know that you will not know. There are some things that God will see, of course that's really an understatement, that you will not see. So when Paul says, my mind is unfruitful, my mind is not unfruitful that I am not praying. Just like Paul knew he was praying for the church in Ephesus. But my mind is unfruitful on how I am praying. This is where I am going to. I want to achieve this in praying for this fellow. So, my mind and my spirit are involved in praying in the spirit. Now listen. I have desires in my mind, and I have desires of my spirit. Desires of my mind are influenced by what I see. Desires of my mind are influenced by what I hear. Desires of my mind are influenced by what I can imagine. They can be neither here nor there. But from my spirit, when I have those desires and I give it to my spirit, I want this. Okay? My spirit prays the will of God. My spirit prays out the will of God. My spirit prays out the purpose of God. Note that. It prays out the will and the purpose of God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, if I will come back to say something that will look like it's contradictory, but just notice. If I'm to pray on my own, from what is taught in 1 Corinthians 14, if I'm to pray on my own, I'm not praying for someone who is presently physically present, pardon me, but I'm praying on my own, I don't need my mind to be fruitful. That is, I don't need my mind to comprehend, to understand. You can have an idea. The most important thing is that I have prayed. Somebody comes to me, for instance, and he says, Brother Lee, come and pray for me. I am trying to choose which job to take. There are four applications that I made, and all the four came out positive. I want to know what it's God's will in that area. Let me give you something as practical as that. So I have what to pray. Okay? I have what I want to pray about. Now, I can set out praying in the spirit. So in that Acha, how would I know, how does my spirit know that that is what it's praying about? Because my mind informs my spirit. Amen. The mind is the doorway. Spirit of man. The mind of man is the doorway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost. It will pray out its own desire. And it will pray it out in the language by which it can communicate things to God. And that language is tongues. Because tongues is a mode of communication. For instance, look here now. What Nii would have, let me use somebody else. What Pastor Wale would have told me could have fear in it. It could have incomplete information. It could have doubt. It could have anxiety. So what do I do? Okay. I take that request. I pass it on inside. When I do, then my spirit will communicate that in its own language to God. Fear is not a language that goes to God, neither does unbelief. But my spirit will pick up that information and pray it out in its own language, in its mode of communication, which is going to be in faith and it's going to be in hope. So, in praying in the Spirit, my spirit takes responsibility of the desires of my mind. My spirit takes responsibility of the desires of my mind. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's look at certain things. Ephesians 6. Somebody actually once said this, and I found it very curious years back that praying in the Spirit is only for praying about, they say praying intercessory prayer, when you want to pray for others. And I said, well, there's no scripture for that. Before you go to Ephesians 6. Okay, let's say Ephesians 6 first. There's no scripture for that. Look, if I look at Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. Someone say all prayer. So all requests, including mine and others, and supplication in the Spirit. All manner of prayer. That includes physical things, physical needs. All prayer. All manner of prayer. I can pray it in the Spirit. It says to pray always with all manner of prayer. Go to Romans chapter 8. That's where I wanted to put your hands in Ephesians 6 because we're coming back. Romans 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. And this is why people thought it meant this is for intercession. But it's wrong. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's the word. The Spirit helps our infirmity. The word helps, I've explained to you, it means to take hold with together again. Now, so the Spirit takes hold with you together against your infirmity. What is infirmity? We know not, this is we know not what we should pray for. What we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What makes intercession means to represent you. So, my spirit, born of God, represents that desire. It presents that desire. What intercession means to present for. So, my mind starts with a desire. My mind sees a reason to pray. And my spirit born of God presents that desire before God. He says, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. He represents the saints according to God. He's not talking about Jesus. According to God. So, that means, I have what I want to pray about, but I don't know what to pray about as I ought to. Someone say, as I ought to. As I'm supposed to present it. For instance, the kind of facts I need to know. That's why tongues is a gift of the Spirit. Is a gift of the Spirit. All this worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. It's a gift of the Spirit. So within my spirit, I want to pray for a particular situation. I know the situation. I have a head about the situation, but I have an infirmity. I don't know everything about the situation. Let me ask you a question. Look up. Look at that prayer of Abraham. Let me stop right there. Abraham goes to God. Please look at this now. And he says, don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. You know he was assuming. You know he was assuming. You know he was assuming. He says, don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. He was assuming. And you and I can also assume that people are righteous in Sodom. So it began with 50. That town is so serious. They couldn't even get 50. He went on and on. He was assuming. And you know, at every point in time, God said, okay. And he kept assuming. He didn't mention Lot. Eventually. He didn't even say one person. That's the point. He knew what he wanted to ask for. But as he ought to, he didn't know. And so, in praying in tongues, we pray as we ought to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why Jude says, you will keep yourself in the love of God. We'll see that later. How praying in tongues keeps you. It will keep you. It will keep you from division. The word division is where you have doubt. They are from the same source. Strife and confusion. So when you are praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, you are freeing yourself from confusion. He says, look at it, and just ask. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus' prayer was simple. He says, I pray so that your faith will not fail. Do you know something? That means Satan was going to tempt him. You understand? So he asked the right thing so that your faith will not fail. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. We'll see what happens when we pray in the Spirit, how we can also have a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom in praying in the Spirit. So, sometimes you can be presumptuous. Someone comes and says, sir, this guy is a typical case. Marriage. You know? And I tell people oftentimes that if there's any area of our lives, we can be very carnal. There are carnal things. It's very easy for us to pray, want to have a crusade, and all those things. But when it comes to simple things, like business, like, you know, who to marry, for instance, I know what I want to pray for. I want to pray to know whether I should marry Apostle Jane. Already the word apostle intimidates me. That means he's a man of God. That means God called him. Maybe I'm presumptuous. You know what I'll do? I want a good husband. I want a good wife. So I'll just pray. I know my mind knows that. And so I'll set out in my mind to pray in the Spirit about the husband or the wife I set to marry. I told you the story of this lady. You know? And she, you know, she had this guy who was in love and all that, which is, I always tell people, you see, love is not everything. It takes time to know who loves you and who you love. Amen. Amen. You know, let me leave that. I said, okay, sister came to me. She said that every time, look at this, every time she prayed in the spirit about this guy, she always had something funny. But when they are together, and they are, you know, lunch break, all these things, Valentine's party, you know. And because this is emotional, somebody says, you, I mean, at a very early in the morning, on your birthday, 6 a.m., somebody knocks your gate, and it's a courier service, brings cakes, brings all those things in the soul. They make you feel very comfortable with the person. And that's why in praying in the spirit, your mind is what? Eyes has not seen, ear has not heard. For had they known it, they would not have gotten you saved. Praise God. Amen. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when we are praying in the spirit and our mind is unfruitful, it's for our good. It is what? For our good. It's for your good. It will go beyond your imagination. But you know the thing, you have prayed. And God will do what you have prayed about. Hallelujah. Okay? So she said that every time, she'll just feel somehow. She particularly when they now come to church. She says that when she's in the private place, and she wants to pray. Well, of course, she prays in the spirit. And she says, Father, I pray for my husband to be. Mentions the name. That she just has this strange feeling. Now then, when she told me, the women are difficult to cancel in that area. If you say, you know, the funny thing is that she will listen to you at the first instance. She won't marry. She won't flow again. But after a while, you know, when she watches more films on movie magic, and she watches, reads some movies, hears about her friends, goes for somebody's wedding, she will call him again. And she says, it's not me, it's pastor. I told him, I even thought he was going to pray for us. He said I should not go ahead. The guy will say, I've always known that guy is a bad guy. So don't let it tell anybody. What we will do is that, you know, I will tell him that my uncle wants me to vouch you, so I will leave. You too, just stay around for some time and don't tell anybody. You know, the mind is becoming very fruitful, you know, and productive, you know, and it's imagining different things. So she told me those things. I said, well, what I'll tell you is, and I told her something key. I said, stay with the guy for some time and pray in the spirit. Stay off the fellow for some time. When I was in a particular church, I don't do it again now. When two people say, oftentimes one will say he has received, and they now call the person, okay? But that's also and so has received for you, and you have received for him, whatever. They don't say, well, this is very good counsel. Stay away from one another for a long time so that you can think straight. They didn't even talk about praying in tongues, but at least they got something right. So that you can think very straight, you know. And of course, oftentimes people will not stay with the person, but they have the picture, the phone call, the text message, enough of you guys, you know, omnipresence, you know, around you. So she just said that. I said, pray in the spirit more and stay away from him for a while. So she prayed more and prayed more and prayed more. You know what? The answer came. She found out that it was a gay. That was the answer. Do you know her mind could never have known that? There was no way. How would you, you know, it's not even in Nigeria that you will see a gay and say he's gay. You say it publicly, the guy will stone you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But she knew. Her mind knew, she saw it, but she had prayed it in the spirit. So what, you know, normally, if you were to pray that in your mind, say, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you know, and maybe you should like, what can you say in your mind again? You know, your mind can only pray what it knows. Say, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever areas in the life of Brother Scott, my husband to be, Lord, perfect it. Those areas are causing problems between us. Lord, help us. You know, that's, you just pray in that direction. And then, you know, both the angels, but that's called the demons, will be confused. You know that? But in praying in the spirit,
she must have said, "Lord, I don't want to marry again."
Amen.
I don't want to marry a Christian, quote and unquote, who is not a Christian. And she must have said, "Let my mind know what I'm saying." You get my point? You know, some women could find out. Maybe somebody could just gist you. Pastor Wale just said, "Do you know that so and so person is a gay?" Eh? I go ask him. "Are you a gay?" And from henceforth, they will not crucify the Lord of Glory. Because the guy will hurry up and cover every track. You go back to Pastor Wale and say, "I thought you were a man of God. I've spoken to his cousin. I've spoken to his aunt. Why are you the only person?" Say, "Pastor Wale will just get GT. I heard it too, Mabel." But when you pray it in the spirit, you will know. You will get incontrovertible evidence that is not just gay, is gayed. Hallelujah. And that goes so many other things like that, as we ought to. You know, Abraham did not pray as he ought to. Do you agree? As we ought to. You know what I now did? When she found out, you know what she was doing again? She was crying. Amen. She was crying, and I was smart. If it were 2 years, it was 99, if it were 2 years before then, I would have said, "Crying about what? Are you crazy? Do the what?" But you see, as time goes on, I have become more matured. I don't talk like that again. You see, I am to walk in the will of God for my life. With that one, I can be aggressive. But the will of God about your own life, I will suggest. I will support you. You know, there's nothing a fan can do. You can't get too fan conscious and you go on the pitch and play. You can only play, say, hey. That's all I can do. So when she came and said, but you know what? I just used Brother Oak style. I said, "You know what? Lord believes the best of every person. You can walk a lot over this matter. Say it's a matter of your choice. You can look at it in one way and say, 'Well, are you ready for that kind of marriage?' And also, well, you can look at it like this and say, 'Well, you can look.'" You know, Brother Oak is my very good counselor. You know, he has taught me some things I will never forget, and they are useful. You know, in life, you must always have somebody that will not quote scripture and just tell you, "And that's it. Say, 'Don't worry, I got it.'" So I just said, "All right." She said, "Okay, sir," and all that. You know, when I said those things, she stopped crying. "Can you say I was safe?" "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. 98, sorry. I said, "Leave my office. You're on." But that's the point. When you pray for some people will come to you and they say, "This is what I need, sir." And you say, "What is the problem?" "Okay, I'll pray with you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you pray in the spirit with them and you interpret, they'll be shocked. They'll be shocked. So, in praying in the spirit, I have a desire, but my spirit prays it as we ought to. So when does desire start? Desire starts from my mind. What I can see. The people I pastor. My friends. My children. My associates. Hallelujah. So in praying in the spirit, I pray it in the language of the new creation. I say it in the right way. I communicate it properly. My spirit prays. Why? My spirit knows the things of God. Hallelujah. My spirit knows the things of God. There's a book I read years back. I've looked up for that book. I can't find it. It's one of the best books I've ever seen. I have never seen a book like that. It's called Praying Beyond God's Ability by Roy Hicks Sr. That book, Roy Hicks is one of the teachers I used to read after a lot. And he said something. He said there's something called timing in prayer. Do you know something as a faith preacher? I had never imagined it. The way he explained it. He said, when you pray, when the time of something has passed, he said, you are praying beyond God's ability. Eh? I had never seen it before. He said, for instance, and then, of course, if there's any classic example, it's the example of someone like, you know, Jesus, when he was done praying and those guys woke up. What a time to wake up. He said, pray, you went to temptation on the web. When he was now done praying, they now woke up. They now said, it's time, sir. Let's labor. He said, no. Sleep on. That's what he told them. They just keep sleeping. Just keep sleeping. That's what he told them. So you can pray beyond God's ability. Amen. You know, you cannot pray for you to be 10 again. You know, you can say, I want to pray, you know, don't worry your friend now. You can't say, I want to pray to pass my legal system. That's the 200 level. See, but that's my desire. That praying beyond God's ability is a strange statement. So there are some times, praying wrong is not praying about something that is wrong. It's how you are praying about it. Hallelujah. So in praying in the spirit, we pray out. We're not praying out. People think we are praying out the will of God. Mm-mm. In prayer, it is your will that is important. Do you understand that? In praying in the spirit, we pray as we ought to. In prayer, it is the will of the man praying that matters, his desire. Now, my desire has to be as it ought to. So that I will not pray, because when I have a desire, that desire is going to be based on the information I have, the time, the things I'm exposed to in my mind. But when I pray in the spirit, I'm praying with all the facts involved. I'll have stood before God and I'll have said, Lord, if you find one third righteous man, come. If you find 0.0008 righteous men, you'll have said, okay, Lord, what if I move to Sodom and I stay there for 1 month? Will you destroy me with them? You know, you'll have achieved it. But he said, if you find 50 righteous men, the whole city perished. Did he know what he should pray for? Yes. As he ought to? No. So in praying in the spirit, we pray out God's language. We communicate things in that language, the language of the new creation to God, besides the fact that we pray as we ought to. Hallelujah. We pray as we ought to. So the prayer point emerges from my mind. But the prayer itself is done in the spirit. It emerges from my mind, but it is done in the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. So when I'm praying in tongues, and now let me just say something that helps, and helps well. I believe this. And from next week, we'll look at it more. We're just talking about tongues, confusion, and other things. That when it comes to some things that are constant in our lives, we should pray always. For instance, I should pray always for my church members. There will always be reasons to pray for them. Their spiritual growth, their ministry, their homes, their businesses, their academics. Are you following what I'm saying here? I pray it always in the spirit. What I would have prayed for last year would differ from what I'll pray this year. For some of us are just lethargic. We just do big repetition. Father, I pray that everything should perfect. Eh? Perfect. You know what is going to perfect? You understand? So I pray it in the spirit. For instance, my own life too. You know, working in God's will and plan and purpose. And I look at things like ministry. You know, decisions to take as a pastor. I need to counsel people. Things when they come to me. Church, where are we going next? What do we do next? I should pray always in the spirit. Always in the spirit. So praying always in the spirit is actually praying always in the spirit. When it comes to physical needs that I do, for instance, even if physical needs like material benefits, you know, you need a house to stay, you need, you know, the issue of school, where to, you know, your degree programs and all that, you can just pray it in the spirit as well. Something that asked me before. You think, can I go to a university that is not in God's will? That's a technical question. But I said the truth of the matter is this. There are certain schools you will go that will help your ministry and help your Christian life. And there are some places you will go that will not help you. Say for instance, there are times in the Bible God will tell someone, don't go there, go here. You know that? So the same way, if I pray in the spirit well, we'll look at it from next week. How does guidance come? We're not talking about guidance, we're talking about just praying about things. When you pray about things, you pray as you ought to. As you ought to. Every one of us has the infirmity of not knowing what we should pray for as we ought to. If you like, know all the scriptures in the Bible. If you like, quote every scripture about prayer. You still have the infirmity we all have because you are in the physical body. Which, where your sight, your hearing, and your imaginations are all limited. Praise the Lord. So praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, means to pray out in the spirit. The Bible now says in 1 Corinthians 14, I'll be closing here now, that 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Are you there? He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Those mysteries are relative. They are relative to his mind. He speaks things that his mind has not seen about the issue. He prays about things that his mind never captured. He prayed in the spirit about things his mind never got to know fully. So it says, Paul now says, I will pray with the Spirit. And I will sing with the Spirit. Well, that's in church. In verse 18, he says, I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than you all. For instance, if you're a minister, preacher, pastor, praying in the Spirit should be your forte. It should be something you do well. You know, you bring out the list of people, for instance, in your cell, your church, your fellowship, one after the other. And then commit them in prayer. You know the basic things, their spiritual growth, their lives, their activities, involvement, their relationships. And you just pray out in the spirit those things. As a pastor, for instance, when, you know, you can hear things from people. Somebody told you something about someone, about something, and you just want to use that to pray straight. Well, that's where praying in the spirit comes in. You tidy up that request. And you pray it out well. You won't be asking for 50 righteous men. You'll be asking for no righteous man. And then at the end of the day, the job is done. Jude 20, it says, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, in even praying in tongues, we build ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. He says, keeping yourself. So you keep yourself. Hagen believes that praying in the Spirit keeps you from the pollution of the world. Well, it's not far-fetched. Jude 17, 18 and 19 was talking about that pollution. And Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Build up yourself in the most holy faith. Praying in tongues. And you will keep yourselves in the love of God. So in praying in tongues, you keep yourself. That's the building up. You keep yourself in the love of God. You keep yourself from the confusion and the pollution that is in this world. Your mind remains quiet. The more you pray in tongues, for instance, the more quiet your mind will be. The much more silenced. It's not that you are mad, though, but your mind is placed in a position of subjection in the things that are in this house. Hallelujah. So, don't forget that. We'll look at it from next week. In praying for others, in praying for yourselves, you know, in praying in tongues, the initiative starts from your mind. You know what you want to pray for, but not how you ought to. Not how you ought to. You can see the, you know, immorality. You can see the brother backsliding. You can see the situation, you know. And I'll say this, you know, again. In taking decisions like that will tie you down, like marriage. It's one thing is clear. If you marry wrong, you will struggle in ministry. If I don't do anything, I know that. You will struggle. You almost get nothing right. Done. Brother Hagin used to say it's better to be a bit slower than God than to be faster than Him. I think that's an important instruction. Just pray in the Spirit some more. As you pray in the Spirit, the answers will come. The answers will come in events. The answers will come in facts and figures that will come to you. Angels of God will carry the answers and show you. They will prompt men to tell you things you never knew. What's happening? Your answers have come. Before then, your mind did not know it. Why? Because in the Spirit you speak mysteries. When the answers come, your mind will recognize. Amen. Let's bow our heads then.